there, Alaskans, wherever you are. Welcome to the Must Read Alaska Show. Coming to you from somewhere in Alaska. This is the place where we talk about, you guessed it, Alaska. Where we keep the mainstream media on their toes and where we are standing up for what's right in a world run by leftists. You can find out more by heading over to MustReadAlaska.com and also checking out the Must Read Alaska YouTube channel for some really great content. But first, let's get this party started.
Welcome, everybody, to the Must Read Alaska Show. I'm your host, John Quick, coming to you live from somewhere in Alaska. Hope everybody has a phenomenal day today. And man, I cannot wait for spring to actually arrive. We got still a couple feet of snow at my house. I'm sure there's a couple feet of snow in Anchorage, if not, maybe more. And I bet everybody's just hemming and hawing and waiting for that spring weather to get here. Excited for today. We have a very special guest. But before I introduce her, I want to thank everybody that listens, watches, and reads Must Read Alaska. If you want to help sponsor the Must Read Alaska show, just email me, John, J-O-H-N, at mustreadalaska.com, and we'd love to have you sponsor the show. We have a very special guest today, President Pat Pitney. She is the 17th president of the University of Alaska system. And, folks, she is a 1984 Olympic gold medal in the women's air rifle. You don't want to mess around with her. She's a gold medalist, folks. Welcome to the Must Read Alaska show, Pat.
Thank you so much, John. And, you know, it's so scary. 1984 was 40 years ago.
Well, I'm sure that was just something to look back on and just, you know, you probably got to pinch yourself every once in a while because there's not too many Olympic gold medalists here in Alaska. Before we go into the talk about the University of Alaska system, tell me about that experience. I'm sure folks would love to hear about it.
Well, it was a great way to grow up and see the world. So I was in, you know, 25 different countries, several of those more than once. The Olympics were in LA, which I thought, you know, I was a little disappointed that it wasn't, you know, China or Paris. But in retrospect, it was really wonderful because it was the first time my parents and my coach and anybody in my family got to see me in an international competition. So but I was favored to win, and so if it was really important that I proved up. And but yeah, absolutely wonderful experience, wonderful friends. Great way to go through college. It was very good.
So do you have the gold medal in the office?
I have it. Hang on just a second. Right there.
Nice. Well, I think that is something to be very proud of. Like I said, it's not too often that we have a gold medalist here in Alaska. And so I think that's just awesome. So now you have a big job. You are the president of the biggest university system in Alaska. You gave kind of a State of the Union address for the University of Alaska system. Talk to me about some of the highlights in that State of the Union.
Good. So we are the only system of higher education in Alaska. But we provide so much of the post-secondary education for our state. 90% of the community college and voc ed instruction across the state, 95% of the undergraduates, so that's, you know, teachers and accountants and engineers, biologists, and then 98% of the graduate education and nearly 100% of the academic research and development in the state. And we do more than a third of all research and development for the state. So with all the federal agencies, all the state agencies, everywhere. So our presence and our breadth is significant, but when you're the only public higher education opportunity, I guess without, I mean, ABTAC is there is a public one, but when you're virtually the only public institution for higher education in the state, you have to have a strong breadth of opportunity. We very much focus on the things that are critical to the state needs. So engineering, teacher education, business and accounting, psychology, mental health specialists, nursing. So our focus is very much tied to the Alaska economy. And you know, one of the points that I made in the State of the University was, you know, nationally, 2/3 of students settle within the state they go to college in. Okay. In Alaska, fortunately, we're higher than that. Within the first year, we have 90% are working and more than 75% stay long-term in Alaska.
That's a good stat.
Only 25% of the students who go outside to college ever come back long-term to Alaska. So that is workforce we're losing. So the single best thing we can do as a state for skilled workforce is to invest in and encourage people to come to the University of Alaska. We've proven it out. If they graduate, they're working here. And then they stay here. They build their families. They stay in the communities. They're committed to their communities. So that is the single best approach to our workforce issues in the state is advocating, investing in and advocating for people to look at the university first.
Yeah. You know, and there's, I'm sure you're aware of this. Obviously, you're the president of the system, but for folks that maybe aren't and live in communities with community college attached to the University of Alaska system, we have one here on the Kenai Peninsula. There's awesome opportunities for, you know, folks that are maybe juniors or seniors in high school to almost get an associate's degree for very inexpensively and sometimes with no cost. Is this true all over the state? Partnerships like that with different school districts?
We do. So the Kenai program is just a great partnership between the borough, the school district, and the community college, the Kenai Peninsula campus. We have on-site middle colleges at Fairbanks, Anchorage, and Mat-Su. So this is the students show up to campus and are on-site. Then we have dual credit opportunities where our faculty are either sharing teaching in the high school or sharing a course with a high school teacher that is college curriculum and teaching it through the high school. We also have Alaska Advantage, which is a distance ed dual credit opportunity that is available to all students in all school districts and at a very affordable price. So if there's not a community campus in that particular school district that has a middle college opportunity, you can use the Alaska Advantage, which is through UAF, but University of Alaska Southeast also has some coursework on it. You can use that Alaska Advantage. It also is really good for the Alaska Performance Scholarship qualification. If your particular high school doesn't have one of the qualifying courses that meet the requirements for the Alaska Performance Scholarship, Alaska Advantage would have it. It's also very popular with homeschools. We have 3,600 high school students enrolled in one or more dual credit opportunities. And what that means is those students can come out of high school and in 2 to 3 years finish their baccalaureate degree. They could be starting on a master's degree within 4 years, or they could be out in the workforce. Or we also have dual credit opportunities on VOTEC. So Prince William Sound Community College has a marine tech and a millwright program an intensive for high school students. I'll fly high school students in. They live on campus and they do an intensive industry certification on marine tech, which is boat motor and boat repair, and millwright, which is, you know, more how do you put the bottom on a boat or a side on a you know, a metal container. So real advantages. But I think people think about when they hear University of Alaska, they hear one thing. Well, we're not one thing. We've got three accredited institutions, a research university, an urban comprehensive, and a small regional that is a very much place-based, hands-on, experiential learning campus. But each of those have the community campuses associated with them. So we have 13 community campuses throughout the state, from Ketchikan to Kotzebue. And that is the front door to the entire system for that community, that region. And I think it's important that people have access to post-secondary education, whether it be at that BOTEC level, the 2-year level, 4-year level. And then, of course, you know, we need a certain amount of graduate and PhD to bring the talent and have that talent in our state for economic growth.
Yep. So if you're a parent listening to this, I'm going to put a link in the podcast description. I want to encourage you to go check out these programs for juniors and seniors in high school on the peninsula, Kenai Peninsula. You know, it's as inexpensive as less than $100 a class, sometimes free. And so I'm sure it's like that all over the state. It's programs that you might as well look into because they're already there in your community. So Pat, let's switch gears for a second here. You know, I think oftentimes we hear that in Alaska, we have a teacher shortage, right? Whether that's, you know, just during the budget process time or otherwise, a teacher retention problem. You all are combating that. You have a program called Teach Alaska, I believe, that is trying to prop up teachers all over the state. Talk to me a little bit about that.
So we have what we call the Alaska College of Education Consortium. And so it was one of the first initiatives I did when I came in as president. But part of the Alaska Education Consortium is it's got our three schools of education. So Southeast, Fairbanks, and Anchorage. And the teachalaska.org website says it allows people to see all of the different pathways that are available to become a teacher in Alaska through the University of Alaska system. And so you walk into that website and you say, okay, I'm a high school student and I want to teach elementary. Okay, here are the programs that you want. And do you want to do it from your home community so that you don't have to leave, say, Chivac or Mountain Village? Do you want to be on site? Where do you want to, you know, what campus do you want to live on? The others are like, do you already have a degree and you want to be a high school math teacher? Okay, here are the programs available. And some programs are 3 years, some programs are a year, some programs are 4. But it gives you all those pathways. Additionally, our schools of education are working with school districts to find to accelerate pathways from paraprofessionals into the teaching. And we're working with on the emergency certification, where somebody comes in, they already have a degree, they're coming in, they're teaching on an emergency certification, and we work with them to get their teaching degree in the first, simultaneously with their first year of teaching. The We do have a shortage of, mm-hmm. of teachers. We have capacity in our programs. We have scholarships beyond. So the Alaska Performance Scholarship is a huge, huge opportunity in our state for accessibility to for college accessibility. It has both a merit-based program and a needs-based program. That program allows accessibility into the institution from a financial perspective. But there's scholarships on top of that to help students get through their student teaching year. So a lot of our students are working part-time. Some of them are working full-time and going to school part-time. But when you get to that student teaching year, you're all in at the school. Yeah. So you don't have that opportunity to work and do your student teaching. So there's a scholarship out there now that allows people to get some support during their student teaching year. And we really do try to focus that on rural teaching opportunities.
Have you seen this kind of new push that you've started since you've been president, being helpful to tackling some of these problems?
You know, it is. We have capacity in our education programs, and we have a lack of interest among students, and we need to make that occupation an attractive occupation. We have to respect our teachers. We have to celebrate our teachers. So we also have two programs, one at the very beginning, which we call Ed Rising. And this is working in the high schools to take people who are predisposed to wanting to become a teacher and helping them while they're still in high school, get a pathway into the education programs and let them know what they're going to, you know, be facing. And that program has been a big help, but again, still not enough to fill our teacher gap. Another program we have through the Alaska College of Education Consortium is teacher mentoring. So when there's a new teacher, we have a program that, especially new teachers in rural areas where they don't have other mentors to help them, these are largely retired teachers go out and help those new teachers. And that program has tremendous objective results on retention of teachers in our rural communities. And it is, it's been going on now for 20 years. And it's a model that other states are beginning to use.
Nice. So one of the things that I find fascinating about one of your initiatives is in the middle of an economy that is not so great. Under your leadership, you guys have been able to raise, I think, over $200 million for the For Alaska campaign, which is just, I think, unheard of in this kind of day and age for just where we're at as a state and as a nation. So kudos to you for doing that. Talk to me a little bit about the For Alaska campaign and why it was so important for you to kind of spearhead this.
So it is a campaign that has, it is a, the For Alaska campaign was a several year campaign. So it's a 6-year, 7-year campaign. And what it did was bring people together across all of our universities to focus on Alaska and the future of Alaska. I mean, that, and so across that time period, we've raised that much. Part of it is like new endowed scholarships and faculty support, endowed faculty, endowments to support a particular program. But how the money works is a large, it's a little bit like the permanent fund, or it's endowment. So mm-hmm. So off of that 250 million, we're drawing about 5% a year. And that, so it's not like we have 250 million to use and then tomorrow we're going to get another 250 million. Over 7 or 8 years, we worked with donors, over 20,000 donors.
Wow.
Contributed to this campaign. Of those, 10,000 were first-time donors. And nearly 8,000 alumni donors. The but it's just a we only draw a little bit out of that because most of that is endowed. There were some, like we just recently received a gift, anonymous gift to build a planetarium addition on the Museum of the North in Fairbanks. And so that was a gift that will be spent, but it's again spent on a particular project of the donor's wishes.
So this fund could grow over, 20 years from now, it could be a lot bigger than $250 right. million. Dollars.
Yeah. And in total, our endowment, our endowed funds total about $500 million.
Nice. So a question to you is this, what advice would you give incoming freshmen, right? So you oversee the University of Alaska system, big school over, spanning, the length of the United States, some would argue, because it's all over Alaska. You got campuses, community college campuses, you got partnerships with school districts all over Alaska. You are the leader of this big organization, but I still think it's important to, focus on the folks that, are the bread and butter of your business, which are students. And so what kind of advice would you give somebody that's coming in for the first year as an incoming freshman to the University of Alaska system?
Yeah, I think it's first get engaged, get involved. There are, there are clubs that range from music to religion to arts and crafts to robotics, to outdoor adventures. Number one, get engaged. Number two, build your peer group. And number three, I think just understand that we need each and every one of these students to be part of the leadership of our state in the future. And by coming to the University of Alaska, they're putting themselves in an awesome position to serve our state, to serve their community, to get a great education, whether it be in accounting or refrigeration repair or process technology. But it sets them up for their future. And we need each and every student as a leader for our state going forward. And I think we need these students. We need you here. We want you here.
Well, I think that's awesome. 25 minutes has gone by literally in a flash. So Pat, any last minute thoughts here before we head off? The floor is yours.
I wanted to just touch on, we have our board just embraced a new strategic guiding document for us, and it's called Empower Alaska. And the pillars of that are financial responsibility and future focus, state and Arctic leadership, and quality education and reputation. And under those pillars, we're focused on growing enrollment, and again, pointed very much at the workforce Alaska needs, but high quality, excellent education. Really working on our cost efficiency and our operational efficiency, making it easy for students to do their administrative part of being in school, but also for the people within the institution. And then we have a very, very aggressive, but amazing reputational opportunity with focusing for our research university at UAF for it to become a top tier research university, what we call a tier one Carnegie classification research. It puts UAF in the top 4% of universities nationwide. And UAF competes for competitive academic research, and they have over $200 million in academic or in scientific research.
Wow.
Dollars that come from external funding sources into the state. It's a real economic driver across the state. There's work in Kodiak, there's work in Seward, there's work in Juneau, there's work in Anchorage, there's work in Fairbanks, there's work in the North Slope. Across our state, this impacts that. But moving to the tier one research status, really what it's going to do is bring additional economic development, but it's going to bring a tremendous amount of talent into our state. So the goal on tier one is to get to a level of PhD students of almost double what we're currently producing. And those PhDs then become leaders across our state, whether it be in private industry or in agencies, and very exciting initiative. Board is completely behind it, and it will make an economic difference, but bring a tremendous level of high reputation to the entire state.
Nice. Well, that sounds pretty great. Folks, for interested in checking out any of these campaigns, I'll put a link in the podcast description. And Pat, we wish you nothing but success from us here at Must Read Alaska. Thank you so much for joining us on the show. You're welcome back anytime. And for folks that listen, watch, and read Must Read Alaska, if you want to sponsor the Must Read Alaska show, just email me, John, J-O-H-N, at mustreadalaska.com. And I hope everybody has a phenomenal day and a great weekend. And until next time, I'm John Quick from somewhere in Alaska. Thanks so much, Pat.
Thank you. Really appreciate it.